There is a mitzvah hinted to in this week's Sedra, and that is Becho Rivorech Yisrael Emor Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Lechim Menashe Vayosem Et Ephraim Lefnei Menashe. Yaakov Avinu says that through Yosef and his children, the Jewish people will be blessed, and the blessing will be Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Lechim Menashe. God should make you like Ephraim and Menashe, putting Ephraim, even though he was younger, before Menashe. This is a mitzvah for all generations to bless with this formula. The question we want to address first is, why is this the form of blessing? Why Ephraim and Menashe? Why not that we should be like Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, or Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and so on? The Sofer says that Ephraim and Menashe represent Torah u'gedula b'makom echad. Ephraim was Yosef's chevrusa. He represented Yosef's spiritual part. Menashe was his second in command in Egypt, and he represented the... Later on, Ephraim was Yaakov's chevrusa when he came to Mitzrayim. So Ephraim represents Torah, and Menashe represents Gedula. And we wish our children that they have Torah and Gedula, success in Torah learning and material success in one place. The Chassam Sofer says the benefit of that is that when you have Torah and Gedula in two separate people, one representing the Gedula and one representing the Torah, sometimes it's necessary to put the person with Gedula first in order to preserve the Torah. But when you have one person who has both Torah and Gedula, as Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had, Torah, Gedula, b'makom echad, then the Torah always comes first. And therefore we bless our children that they should be blessed with spiritual success in Torah and also material and physical success in Gedula. But we put the Torah, Ephraim, before Menashe, before the physical and material successes. Could be this is the meaning of what Chazal said, that the reason the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed is Al Ozva Mis Torah Si, they forsook my Torah. And the rabbis interpret that to mean Shelo Berchu BaTorah Tchila. They didn't make the blessing before they learned Torah, which is a simple meaning, but perhaps it also can mean they didn't bless their children with Torah first. They blessed them that they should be successful in business, career people, doctors, lawyers, and also Talmidei Chachamim. When they should have blessed them, they should be great Talmidei Chachamim and also successful in material and physical things. Okay, the Chiddush Harim says another idea. He says that Ephraim, Menashe, represented Sur Meirah. That was how Yosef named his son Menashe. Kinashani Elokim Mikol Amali Mikol Beisodi. God made me forget all my tzaris. That's the Sur Meirah. That's going away from negative. Ephraim is the positive. Hifrani Elokim Be'eretz Ani. God made me flourish. So there's a difference of opinion here between Yosef and Yaakov. Which comes first? First, the Sur Meirah, go away from the negative, and then seek the positive, or seek the positive, and that'll help you go away from the negative. Yosef said, first give the bracha to Menashe, and then to Ephraim. First, go away from the negative, then you go to the positive. And Yaakov said, no, first do the positive, and that will help you go away from the negative. So we bless our children that they should be able to stay away from the negative and to do the positive, and we put the positive before the negative. That's the Chiddush Harim. The Kedushas Levi says a little bit differently. He says that Menashe represented Tzoras. Nashani Elokim es kol amoli ukol beis avi. God made me forget my father's house, put me into Egypt with all of my Tzoras. That represents Tzara. And Ephraim represents the Yeshua, the salvation. Ephraimi Elokim. God made me flourish here in Egypt after he put me through all these Tzaras. And we hint to the fact that we want our children to be able to deal with Tzaras properly and to deal with Yeshuas. But we put the Yeshua before the Tzara because God always creates the Refuah before the Makkah. He always creates the cure before he gives a sickness. So therefore, Ephraim, who represents the Yeshua, the salvation, comes before Menashe, who represents the Tzara. The Agra de Kala, the Bnei Yisoschar, he, along with quite a few other commentaries, say a similar thing. I'm going to put all together what they say. He says, he doesn't say this completely, but they say the following. They say that from creation, there were always problems between brothers. Cain and Hevel didn't get along. One was jealous of the other. And then, what's it called? You have Yishmael and Yitzchak, and then Yaakov and Esau, and then Yosef and his brothers. Every week is a different problem with brothers, right? They're jealous of each other. They're what's it called, haughty one over the other, until we get to Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe, even though Ephraim was the younger and Menashe the older, and Yaakov put Ephraim before Menashe, but Ephraim did not become haughty over Menashe, just the opposite. The Chafetz Chaim says the reason that Ephraim was given the edge over Menashe is because he humbled himself extra. He made himself smaller. And that's why he merited to be greater, because he was a very humble person. And Menashe wasn't jealous of Ephraim, even though he was told by his grandfather, Yaakov, that from then on, Ephraim would always come before Menashe. Menashe wasn't jealous. He accepted it. So here is the first time in history where two brothers, even though the younger is favored over the older, right, the older one is not jealous and the younger one isn't haughty over the other brother. And that's why we bless our children that they should be like Ephraim and Menashe, that they should be able to live in this world both with their siblings, even if they don't have siblings, live with other people in such harmony. And therefore there's a hint that the Likutei Torah says that if you take the first letters of the word, Yisimcha Elokim, Kefraim v'chimenashe, the first letters are Yud, Aleph, Chaf, Vav, they add up to 37. And 37 is the same numerical value as the word Hevel. Here is a tikkun, here is a correction of the strife that started out in the world between Cain and Hevel. Here are two brothers that corrected that, Ephraim and Menashe. Okay, that's another idea why we give our children a blessing to be like Ephraim and Menashe, that they should not be any strife, they shouldn't be jealousy, there shouldn't be haughtiness, they should get along with other people. Another idea. You had a question? Okay. Peretz and Zerach? I hear. It's a good question. I don't know. No, but it could be over there. The Peretz was the older, and he was named the Melech, so there was no reason for strife. Okay, another reason that's given why we bless our children specifically Ephraim and Menashe, because all the other this Likutei Yehuda says, he says that all the other Shvatim were born in Eretz Yisrael under the influence of Yaakov Avinu, and some of them, even for a time, under Yitzchak Avinu, their grandfather. And it was no wonder that they remained good from Jews, faithful to tradition. But Ephraim and Menashe were born in Golis, in Mitzrayim, with all those influences of Egypt. And they were not under the influence of Yaakov, nor Yitzchak. Nor were they born in Eretz Yisrael. They were born in Chutz Laretz. And they remained true to the Mesorah. That's what we want for our children too. To have that power, right, to withstand all the negative influences that could be and still remain true. Not only when the situation is ideal should they remain strong and faithful. Even when the situation is difficult should they have the power to remain faithful and strong. And not only that, Reb Shlomo Bloch says that not only weren't Ephraim and Manasseh affected adversely by being in Mitzrayim and not being under the influence of Yaakov and Yitzchak, but normally there is a Yeridas Hadoros, generations go down. Here, Ephraim and Manasseh were exactly on the same level as Reuven and Shimon, Yaakov says. There wasn't even a going down of a generation. They maintained the same level as their uncles. Yeah. Because, first of all, before the Torah was given, nobody was really Jewish. They were part of the household of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Any woman that married into that household accepted not only the seven mitzvahs of Noach, but the principles of Avraham Avinu's family. And therefore, Osnas accepted that, and basically converted, not to Judaism, because they weren't Jews, but converted to the principles of the house of Avraham, and that's how she was considered part of the house of Avraham. Yes. Yes, but again, even if she wasn't yet, it was a daughter of Dina. But even not according to that Medrash, right? Rivka, Rachel, Leah, right, were not of the house of Avraham per se. And yet they all were considered part of the house of Avraham because they basically converted when they joined the family. So even if Osnas was an Egyptian, right, she also accepted upon herself the principles of the family. Okay. That's what I saw others say. Now I want to tell you something that I think another reason why we bless our children Ephraim and Manasseh, and why Ephraim comes before Manasseh. The idea being the following, that Avos does not just mean fathers. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were our Avos. They weren't just our fathers. But Av also means the cause of something. Avos of Shabbos and Toldos of Shabbos, they are the main works, and then the subordinate, the secondary things that emanate from those main things. Tuma. You have Avos HaTuma and Toldos HaTuma. You have the main categories of Tuma, and then that leads, that causes other lesser levels of defilement. So the word Av and Tolda doesn't only mean father and son, but it also means cause and effect and result. Meaning the following. You know, yesterday we said Slichos, Asara B'Teves, and in Slichos we say, Zechor Lano Bris Avos. Remember the covenant of our forefathers. And then we say right after that, Zechor Lano Bris Rishonim. Remember for us the covenant of the first ones. Now, if the weren't the Avos the first ones? Who were the first ones if it was not the Avos? I think you see from there that the Avos weren't the first ones. The first floor is floor one. But before you get to floor one, you have to get to the foundation of the building. The Avos were the foundation. They weren't the first. They were before the first. They were the base upon which everything else was predicated. And from them came everything to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, whatever the Avos had in them is found in us. Because we exist through them. It's like the genes, physical genes. Whatever the parents had genetically is in the children. That's what they are. So we are the result of those Avos. And we have within us what the Avos represented. That explains also the following Rashi. Later on in Parshas Vo'era, which Amir Sashem, I will be back a week before that already, but in Parshas Vo'era, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Vo'era el Avram el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov bekel Shakai. I appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right, and I promised them a lot of things, Rashi explains. And they never complained when they didn't see the fulfillment of my promise. They trusted me. And you, I promised you that you would take the Jewish people out of Egypt, and the first time, you already, complained when things didn't work out right away the way you thought they would. So Rashi completes. God says, "Chaval al da'abdin v'lo mishtachim." It's a shame that they're lost and can't be found. So two questions here. First of all, Rashi, on commenting on that sentence, "Vo'eiro el Avraham el Yitzchak Yaakov," Rashi adds two words: "Vo'eiro el ha'avos." I appeared to the forefathers. Now, what is Rashi telling us? Without Rashi, I wouldn't know who Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov was. The pasuk says, "Vo'eiro el Avraham el Yitzchak Yaakov." Comes along Rashi and says, "You know who they were? They were the avos." Right? What's Rashi telling me? I know they were the avos. Would I think that they were Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, somebody else, if Rashi didn't point out they were the avos? Rashi doesn't say things for no purpose. Why did he tell me over here they were the avos? And I have another question. Two more questions. One, Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtachim." It's a shame that the avos are lost and can't be found. The avos are lost? I know where they are. The bodies are buried in Maris and Machpelah, and the neshamas are in Gan Eden. They're not lost. How could God say, it's a shame that these people are lost? And even if they're lost, why do you have to say they can't be found? If they could be found, they wouldn't be lost. So why the double? It's redundant. It's a shame they're lost and can't be found. What does that mean? So I think it means the following. There's a Hasidish Maisa with the Rebbe Reb Zusha. The Rebbe Reb Zusha said, "I'm not afraid that after 120 years they're going to ask me, 'Zusha, how come you weren't as great as the Rambam?' Because I will answer, I did not have the qualities of the Rambam, the potential of the Rambam. So, not a problem. I'm not afraid they're going to ask me, 'Zusha, how come you weren't as great as the Baal Shem Tov?' I'm going to answer very simply, I didn't have the potential of the Baal Shem Tov. You know what I'm afraid? They're going to ask me, 'Zusha, how come you weren't Zusha?' And that I have no answer for. Why didn't you live up to your potential?" Now, I usually don't ask questions based on Hasidish maises, but it's a logical maise. So what is God's complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu? "Moshe, I had great people, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. I promised them things, they never questioned me, and look at you." Why didn't Moshe turn around and say, "God, I'm not Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. I'm Moshe. Right? What do you expect from me? How can you expect from me what they produce? They're much greater." So why did God, Taka, say this to Moshe? The answer is, because God did not appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov as individuals. He appeared to them as the avos, as Rashi said. If they would just be individuals, then our question's a good question. Moshe could say, "I'm not Avraham, I'm not Yitzchak, I'm not Yaakov." But these were the avos. They contained within them all the powers, all the qualities that would go into the Jewish people. Whatever the avos had is in Klal Yisrael. We have to say, "Mosai Adil Maisai Lamaisai Avosai Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov." Every Jew has to say, "When will my deeds be like the deeds of my forefathers? I may not be able to be exactly like this one or that one or whatever, but the qualities of the avos everyone has, because that's what we are, that's our makeup. The qualities of the avos went into every Jew and Jewess. All of us are like that." If that's the case, so how do I know that? How do I know that the quality of the avos extended to all generations, even till today? So one could say, well, we know that the qualities of the avos extended to the Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. They had the qualities of the avos, but that's no proof. Of course they had the qualities of the avos. They grew up amongst the avos, at least two of them. And they grew up in Eretz Israel. So of course the quality of the avos extended to them. But how do I know it extended beyond that? To generations that didn't grow up amongst the avos? That didn't grow up in Eretz Israel? How do I know that they have those qualities? The answer is because Ephraim and Manasseh had those qualities. And they didn't grow up amongst the avos, and they didn't grow up in Eretz Israel. How do I know they had the qualities of the avos? Because it says in the Torah. Yaakov tells his son Yosef, "The korei bohem shmi, the shem avosai Avraham v'Yitzchak. My name and the name of my forefathers, Avraham and Yitzchak, are called in these children." What does the name mean? The name is the essence of the thing. It's the qualities, the capabilities, abilities, talents of that thing is represented by the name. And Yaakov says clearly, my name and my father and grandfather's name are called in these children. They have our qualities, all of them. They have our name. Okay, that means Ephraim and Manasseh, the qualities of the Avos extended to them. And if it extended to them, and they didn't grow up amongst the Avos, and they didn't grow up in Eretz Yisrael, then there's no reason to say it doesn't extend to all future generations too. They had nothing more than any of us have. We also didn't grow up amongst the Avos. Okay, and many of us were not even born in Eretz Yisrael. So, therefore, if it extended to them, then it extends to us also. So that is the bracha that we give our children. We can't give them the bracha, be like the Avos, because the Avos created the potential. We don't create potential. We just realize the potential that we have that the Avos created for us. They created the potential, passed it on to us, and every generation has to realize a portion of that potential that they inherited. So we don't bless our children that they should be Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov because we're not creators of potential. But they should be like Ephraim and Manasseh who contain the potential of the Avos, and therefore you can realize that tremendous potential that you have. You should know, and that's the greatest bracha you can give a child, to let them know what potential they have, what characteristics they have, what abilities, what capabilities, what talents. So we let our children know, you have the power to be like Ephraim and Manasseh, who had the powers of the Avos in them. But we also tell them, potential is not the main thing. You have great potential, but that's not the ikkar. The main thing is how much you realize of your potential. Because Ephraim, being the younger child, had less potential than Manasseh was the Bechor. But Yaakov saw prophetically that in the long run, Ephraim and his descendants would realize more of their lesser potential than Manasseh realized of his greater potential. So who comes first? The one who realizes more or the one who has more potential? The one who realizes more. Ephraim comes before Manasseh. So that's the bracha we give our children. You have tremendous potential. You have the potential of the Avos, just like Ephraim and Manasseh did. But don't ever think that that's enough. You have to realize that potential because Ephraim comes before Manasseh. The one who realizes the potential, more of the potential, comes before the one who has greater potential. In Tells, they used to say, Yichus is like potential. It's one big zero. If you have a lot of Yichus, you have a lot of zeros. Still zero. If you put a one in front of those zeros, then it's something. In front of it is zero. So if you realize it, you do something with it, then a lot of zeros are very important. But if you don't do anything with it, then a lot of zeros are no bigger than one zero. Okay. In any case, there's one question, though, that you can ask me. If that's the case, I said we can't give the bracha to our children that they should be like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov because they created potential and we only realize it. Then why do we give our daughters the bracha to be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valeya? Then we do give the bracha to be like the Imahos, not like the ones who came from them. So I have two answers to that. The first one you're going to like, the second one I may not even tell you. But since there are some men here, I'll tell you the second one too. The first one is that perhaps men can't create potential. But women, by their very nature, the fact that they bring new life into this world from their own bodies, women can create potential. Women can be like the Imahos, even though men can't be like the Avos. To be like the Avos, to make potential, men can't do that. But women can create potential, and therefore, they can be like the Imahos. Another possible answer, which you won't like, is that even the Imahos didn't create any potential. They were just subordinate to their husbands who created the potential. And therefore, there's no problem with saying that a woman should be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, because Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah didn't create any potential either. Okay, but I like the first answer better. Okay, let's go on to the next point here. When do we give this bracha to our children? So, Yonason ben Uziel, the Targum Yonason ben Uziel, and it's already also in other Midrashim, says that this bracha was designated for the day that a child enters his bris. On the day of the bris, we say, Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim v'Chemenashe. Now, we don't have that custom. We don't mention this bracha at a bris. But they bring down, the Medrash brings down, that by Sfaradim, they do have a paraphrase of this bracha. What's the paraphrase? In Sfaradic tradition, I don't know which Sfaradim it's talking about, because I asked somebody recently and who was a Sfaradi, and they didn't know about this. But in some Sfaradic tradition, they say at a bris that the child should be an ach l'shiva u'lishmona. He should be a brother to the seven and to the eight. Anybody know such a nusach that they say at a bris? Shia ach l'shiva v'gam l'shmona. Okay. In any case, but there is some tradition that says that. What does that mean, l'shiva u'lishmona? That is a hint to Ephraim and Menashe. And also that Ephraim comes before Menashe. How so? When the Nisiyim, the heads of the tribes, consecrated the altar, Chanukah Samizbeah, right? So they brought 12 sacrifices, each day a different head of the tribe, different Nasi. Which Nasi was on the seventh day? Ephraim. Which Nasi was on the eighth day? Menashe. Ephraim brought his korban on Shabbos, because the Chanukah Samizbeah started on Sunday, so the seventh day was Shabbos. The eighth day was the next Sunday. So Ephraim brought his sacrifice to consecrate the Mizbeach on Shabbos, and Menashe brought his on Sunday, on the eighth day. So the hint is you should be a brother to the seven and to the eight, to Ephraim and Menashe. So it's like we're giving the child the bracha to be like Ephraim and Menashe. And there's a reason why, Ephraim came first, and then Menashe. In fact, some say that was what the bracha means. Yaakov Avinu said, Yisimcha Elokim k'Ephraim l'k'Menashe. God should make you like Ephraim Menashe. Then the Torah says, V'yosem es Ephraim l'k'Ephraim Menashe. He put Ephraim before Menashe. That's also redundant. It's obvious he put Ephraim before Menashe. That's what it says. Why does the Torah have to point out that he put Ephraim before Menashe? So many learn to tell us in the future that you always have to put Ephraim before Menashe. But I saw one Medrash says something different completely. Vayosem es Ephraim l'fnei Menashe does not mean, Rav Yehuda Chosid says this. He says it doesn't mean that Yaakov put Ephraim before Menashe. Vayosem is going on Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Yaakov blessed Ephraim first and mentioned Ephraim first before Menashe, therefore Vayosem later on in history, when it came to making the sacrifices in the Mishkan of Ephraim and Menashe, Moshe Rabbeinu put Ephraim first, that his sacrifice should be on Shabbos, and Menashe's on Sunday. Vayosem es Ephraim b'nei Menashe. And according to the Netziv, and also the Chasam Sofer, there's a reason why Ephraim brought his sacrifice on Shabbos, and Menashe on Sunday. Ephraim, like we said, represented the spiritual leaders of the Jewish people, and Menashe, the more physical leaders. Shabbos is a day of spirituality. So Ephraim brought his sacrifice. Sunday is the beginning of the work week. Therefore, Menashe brought his sacrifice on Sunday. So Ephraim came first because the spiritual comes before the physical, and Ephraim was on Shabbos and Menashe on Sunday. In addition, the Netziv says that's why when they had the first census, when they entered the desert after Egypt, Ephraim was counted before Menashe. In the last census, before they entered Eretz Israel, Menashe's head of the tribe is mentioned before Ephraim. Says the Netziv, when they went into the desert, they were leading a totally spiritual life. They weren't involved at all in earning a living. They lived totally spiritual. They got the man. Everything was a spiritual existence. Now that they're going, therefore Ephraim came before Menashe. When they were going to enter Eretz Israel, in Eretz Israel they'd have to live a more physical existence. They'd have to plow and plant and work for a living. Then Menashe comes before Ephraim. And the Chiddush Harim points out that if we don't give the child the bracha, that he should be like Ephraim and Menashe, meaning a great Talmud Chacham, and also successful financially and materially, if we don't give it by the bris, then he'll never be a Talmud Chacham. If a child doesn't start to be educated by the time of the bris, then you're too late. So never going to be a big Talmud Chacham if you don't educate him right away from the beginning. I was thinking that we have another, even Ashkenazim, hint to this bracha based on what I told you before. What's the bracha? You have tremendous potential. You have the potential of the avos. Use that potential. That is the bracha of Yisimcha Elokim k'Ephraim l'k'Menashe. What do we say by a bris? K'shem shenichnas la bris, Kain Yekaneish Latora Lechukla Maishim Tovim. What's Kishain? Name. With that name, it says that the day of the bris is when the person gets that Nishmas Yisrael, the full Jewish soul, which means the full qualities of our avos. That's when that Nishama comes into the child. So we say Kishain with that name, meaning all the qualities of the avos that you have, you should use them out for Torah, Chuppah, Maishim Tovim. That is exactly a paraphrase of the bracha, Yitzimcha Elokim, Gefrayim, Lechem Menashe. You have tremendous potential, and use it out like Ephraim used his potential more than Menashe. Okay. Now, there is another minik. The custom is to give this bracha Friday night. Custom is, person comes home from shul, gives his children, boys and girls, a bracha, and says students also want you to give this bracha. Okay? Now, what's the reason why on Shabbos we give this bracha? Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim Lechem Menashe. So I saw here also a few ideas. One is that why do parents bless their children? Not specifically this bracha, that we answered already, why this bracha. But why specifically do parents bless their children on Shabbos? So some say because Shabbos is an auspicious time, a very spiritual time, and the bracha is very, very, it's floating in the air. So this is the time to direct all that spirituality in a bracha to your children. Also, we have a neshama yisera on Shabbos, an extra neshama. So the one who's giving the blessing has an extra neshama, and the one who's receiving the blessing has an extra neshama. It's a great time to give a bracha. Also, on Shabbos, we're protected from sin. So there's nothing that can harm or prevent or deter the bracha. So it's an auspicious time for giving a bracha. The Sefer HaChaim from the Maral's brother says that the pipelines of bracha are open on Shabbos. The Yavetz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, says it's an auspicious time to bring the influence from above into this world. It's a spiritual time. The Sefer HaChaim says another idea, though. He says that during the week, when people are under pressure, a lot of times parents curse their children, yell at them, right? And teachers curse their students under pressure. So therefore, before the week starts, on Shabbos, when there isn't so much pressure, the father and mother should bless their children, the teacher should bless his students, so during the week he gives them a curse, it already is negated by the blessing he gave them at the Shabbos before, because Shabbos is the power from which the entire week emanates, and if you put into that power blessing, then the curse has a less of an effect. Others say the following. Very interesting idea from the Onig Chaim L'Shabbos. I don't know who that is, but he says an interesting idea. He says that, what is Shabbos? Shabbos is a testimony that God created the world. Now, how do we know that God created the world? Because my father told me, and his father told him all the way back to Adam HaRishon. But how do I know I can trust my father? So on that, the Svarim say, because parents usually don't want to lie to their children or do harm to them. They want to do good for their children. So why would they make up a story that would harm them? So if my father told me something, he probably means it for my good, and it's probably true. So therefore we find that Shabbos and honoring the parent go together. Because Shabbos is the testimony that God created the world, but in order to believe that, I have to believe that my parents want the best for me. So on Shabbos, the parents give the children a bracha, that they should know that the parents want the best for them, and that way it will make them believe them, and they'll also, what's it called, believe that God created the world. That's what he says. Another idea is that I think that God blessed his children, meaning his creations, on Shabbos. He finished creating the world, and these are God's toldos shamayim va'aretz, right? They are the emanations from God. So if God blessed his emanations, then each parent blesses his emanations, his children, on Shabbos. Another idea is that Shabbos reminds us that we are dependent on God. We are not the first. We're second. Meaning we need somebody comes before us who we have to depend on. For Shabbos, we don't go to work. So we know that we depend on God to provide our living. A child and a father, child and a mother, right, is this relationship. The Av is Aleph, is the father, Av, and the Beis is the Ben, the child. A Bechor. Bechor is the second of all the letters. Beis is the second of the single letters. Chaf is the second of the tens, 20, and Reish is the second of the hundreds, 200. Meaning we're only second, we're not first. We need to rely on the first. That's why Bracha, Barech, is also the same letters. Beis, Reish, Chaf. A Bracha means I need somebody else to bless me. I need to depend on somebody else. Shabbos reminds me that I have to depend on God and rely on Him. I'm not the first, He's the first. And therefore, a child, giving a blessing to the child, reminds us also of this idea. The child is not the first. He needs the parent to give him the blessing. So too, we are God's children. We're not the first. We need God to give us a blessing. Okay. Now, some say, I saw it brought down, that the Sfarim say that this bracha, when did Yaakov actually bless Ephraim and Manasseh? Was Erev Yom Kippur. And that's why we have the custom to give this bracha also on Erev Yom Kippur. Parents give their children this bracha with others on Erev Yom Kippur. Now, it says also that when you give this bracha, Shabbos, some people have the custom that they don't only give brachas to their children. It's not just the mother and father. Some have the father gives all the children brachas. Some have the mother and father giving the children brachas. Okay? It says a custom that they bless everybody. All relatives get blessed. Cousins, uncles, grandparents. Not that bless the grandchildren or whatever, but everybody blesses everybody else. Everybody blesses their relatives in the house, one to the other. Yisimcha lukim kefrayim lechem Menashe. I never saw a custom like that, but there is such a custom. Well, after Havdalah, if you have the custom, fine. I don't know of this. Okay. Now, some people put their hands on the head, both hands, on the head of the person they are giving a bracha, and some people only put one hand. The Vilna Gaon says you should not put two hands because that looks like Birkas Kohanim, and you can't do that. Even a Kohen can't bless at night, giving it Friday night, and surely a person who's not a Kohen can't put his hands like that. So it's therefore proper to put only one hand, according to Vilna Gaon. But Yaakov Emden says it's proper to put both hands. Now the hand has 14 parts to it. The 14 different joints in the hand. You count them, you'll see. Plus the hand itself is 15. There are 15 words in Birkas Kohanim. So putting your hand on the head represents Birkas Kohanim too. And we do say Yivarechecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha also. Also, Yad is 14. It represents the 14 parts of the hand, Yud Dalet. Okay, now I saw also that some had the minhag that they put one hand on the head of unmarried girls, and married boys, they put both hands to signify both their wife, too, that they were blessing not only them and also the wife. Some people have the minhag to bless their in-law children also, right? In other words, not just their biological children, but their children's spouses. I personally have that minhag. I bless my sons-in-law and daughters-in-law, too. Right? We consider them children. And I know that my Nechutanim consider my children their children, too. So, I have two of them here, and they will, right. Not only do I know that because they say it here, but I know it because that's how they act. So, very much so. So, in any case, there's a little bit of a question whether a man can give his daughter-in-law a bracha by putting his hand on her head, since it's not his child, really, right? So what I do is I use a plate, hold the plate with my hands on it, and put the plate on my daughter-in-law's head. Not a heavy plate, and I don't do it with great force, just
They'll keep her a plate,
she's plate. What? Says that those who have that custom of putting two hands on a married child's head to signify the spouse also put two hands on a unmarried boy's head because his spouse is the Torah. So it's considered the Torah also is there. Then I saw another thing. The Rabbeinu Bachya says that before you bless anybody, you should first bless God. So you first should say Yisborach Shemo, and then give the bracha. And also, it says that you should mention the child's name. That that you should say the child's name before you bless him, because it's an inyan to mention a person's name before you bless them. But I told you the name of the Rabbeinu Bachya is the name of the Chidah. The Chidah says first you should bless God, you say Yisborach Shemo, and then give the bracha to the child. Also, there's a minig, mostly by Sardim, that the child kisses the father's hand or the mother's hand, and then they use that hand to give the bracha in order to be ma'ora rachamim, to arouse mercy, and then they bless with that hand that was kissed. Okay, more or less, that is what I dug up on this bracha of Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Lechemenashe. When I come back in Yitz Hashem, we will go back to discussing other ideas of praying for other people. Yes? Other special occasions besides Shabbos, Erev Yom Kippur, and Bris Milah? Yeah, the Chuppah. And chuppah. Right, the chuppah also. Father gives that. But there's other, you can do whatever you want, but those are the times that are mentioned. Yes?
Why wasn't the bracha executed
for please?
Why what?
Why wasn't the... Oh, I don't know. Why wasn't the original bracha? Why don't we have that custom? I don't know. I really don't know.
What about children? Give them a bracha over the phone.
Also good.